This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
In the port of Amsterdam, there's a sailor who sings of the dreams that he brings from the wide open sea. And in the port of Amsterdam, there's a sailor who sleeps while the riverbank weeps to the old willow tree. And in the port of Amsterdam, there's a sailor who dies, full of beer, full of cries, from a drunken town fight. And in the port of Amsterdam, there's a sailor who's born on a hot, muggy morn by the dawn's early light. In the port of Amsterdam, where the sailors are meet, there's a sailor who eats only fish heads and teeth. He'll show you his teeth that have rotted too soon, that can hold
on Joy 94.9. That beautiful track, sung by the beautiful Elise Platt, was written by Jacques Brel, and it's called Amsterdam. And we welcome to the studio, in her actual person, Elise Platt. Truthfully, last week on our show, we're in the middle of Radiothon at the moment, Elise, and we actually did have 37 humans in this studio, live.
Here.
Live.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's squishy.
It's very squishy.
Yeah.
And did it smell?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, it did.
Because we were also serving them beer and cheesels.
Oh.
So yes, it did.
Cheesels.
I know.
Yeah.
Yes.
A little bit closer.
Oh, yeah. How's that?
That's good. We're having trouble with your levels. Hey, welcome. Now, tell us about this.
Thank you.
You're actually performing. I just wanted to play a little bit of that track because I love it and because you're performing as part of the Melbourne Cabaret Festival, which starts very, very soon, 19th of June.
Exactly, yes.
So it runs 19th of June to the 1st of July. It's a festival which I have not interacted with myself.
Nor I.
Right.
Yeah, so a newbie. Are you coming?
I was just reading that our very own Michael Dalton,
fan
of the show, friend of the family, is the artistic director of the Melbourne Cabaret Festival.
Ambassador.
Oh, and he's an ambassador.
Yes.
Is it Dolly Diamond or Michael? It's Dolly.
It's Dolly. Dolly's the ambassador.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I think Michael was on the payroll last year.
We had him. Dolly Diamond is certainly still on the website.
Yes. Artistic, very much.
Artistic director for 2018 festival. Mm. So, very good. Anyway,
yes.
It's not about Dolly, is it? Darling, it's about you.
Yes, it is.
Welcome
back. Always about Dolly.
We had you in last year just before we went to see your Birds Basement show.
And it was about this time. Yeah, it was pretty much a year ago.
So you crack one off about once a year.
Excellent.
For you.
So pop yourself in the diary for this time next year.
All right.
and we'll all be on the same page.
No, but this is a very different show. I mean, can you explain to me what defines cabaret?
Well, good question, because I really don't know. But I think...
Did you put that in your application for the Cabaret Festival?
No, it's very much about a story, I believe. Having said that, there are cabaret festivals where there are people who are pretty much just a band now, you know, stringing, like Tex Perkins is under the banner of cabaret. So it's sort of like the Blues Festival, you know, in Byron Bay. It's not all about the blues. So it's not all about Come to the cabaret. But it is very much that as well. So from my understanding of it, it's songs, it's story, and you take people on a journey. And so you don't necessarily... So it's not a gig. Mm. You're not there. You're very much the audience, and sometimes you're participating or you're...
So a bit
you know,
of narrative
being,
going on.
A narrative, yeah. Absolute narrative and a theme, which is very much my show.
So what's the name of your show, please?
It's called Someone's Daughter.
And I have done a little bit of research.
Oh.
Now, it's autobiographical. Damn.
It is autobiographical. Correct.
Now, tell me more about... What aspects of your life are we dealing with?
Well, from a very, very young Elise, actually, it does. But it's autobiographical, but it's not chronological, and it's not standing up and
not
saying
a narrative.
No, absolutely not. It's the theme is what inspired the show. So I came up with the theme, which was born out of doing a masterclass with the late Elizabeth Kemp, who was this fantastic teacher from New York. And her work is very much about symbols and a thing called the shadow, shadow side of...
Your own shadow.
Your own shadow, yes. So I actually studied Marlene Dietrich, which did I tell you this last time? I can't remember. I'm having a flashback, but that's what I was doing.
If you
this
and she
time,
and I don't remember, the listeners absolutely
that's okay.
Don't worry
we'll
about it.
We'll check the text.
Yeah.
All right. But that's what I was doing this time last year. So
you were doing the masterclass this time last year.
And I was doing Marlene and during...
So is it, sorry to interrupt, was it a masterclass in voice or songwriting or performance or...
Performance,
okay,
acting.
Acting.
Yes. And I love the work, and I have also done quite a bit of study and work with soul psychotherapy, with Jung and all of that sort of thing, and so it really struck a chord
I
for me.
I wonder why when you came to the studio you just lay down in the on the couch in the green room. I was going to ask you about your experience.
That's hysterical. Very funny.
Thank you, Alice.
Yes.
Sorry to interrupt.
It's okay.
Your press release says it's an eclectic mix of songs, which is often said, but it actually you are running the... You're a singer and a songwriter, but you're running the gamut of music from the Velvet Underground, Jacques Brel, Marianne Faithfull. Is there any Dietrich in this?
No, there's not. No. I was going to, but it's as, you know, when you're creating a work, I'm sure you understand, you just put everything on the table, and then as it gets closer and closer to it becoming something, things fall off, and unfortunately that did, but not her. She's still in me in some way.
And there's a bit of your own songwriting in there.
So half of it is my songs, and the other half are songs that are... And there's also an 80s kind of... I do a big part of the 80s, actually. I do a motel song.
Motel song?
Yes.
About the motels your shadow has visited in the 80s?
Well, sort of. I actually stayed at her house.
Whose? Really?
Martha's house. I met her in LA years and years ago. I know, weird, hey? I did.
Mm.
And she was a friend of somebody who, I think Toddy Goldsmith. Yeah, it was through Tot, of course.
Every time there's a name drop, I'm going to give you one of these.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I get two because I said Martha.
Very good.
All right.
Now, in terms of we were just talking a second ago about cabaret being a story.
Yes.
How much do you marry your acting experience into your performance?
A lot. So in this instance, there's what I'm calling poetic text, and then there's just me chatting text. So there's quite a bit. And it's actually really scripted but then thrown away. So
it's
that's
more like a drama piece with song.
Yeah, but it's me chatting to you and reminiscing and talking about things
in the
past.
That's how I identify cabaret. I always think cabaret is the connecting bits between songs, like that kind of narrative. And that's the hardest bit, I think.
Absolutely.
I don't do it, but that's the hardest
really
bit to
hard.
Get.
It's really, really hard. And so I think I've come up with a heightened musical, theatrical, mixed cabaret. But a lot of it is me, and I've been trying to, you know, forget about the script and just have a chat, which is the art of really good cabaret performers, because they just but like comedians, they all, you know, everything that they say sounds like it's just something that
just
they've thought of. But it's well.
I wrote this song in the green room 5 minutes ago.
That's right.
That sort of thing.
Exactly.
The band just learned it.
We know that our audience for this show runs from the age of 16 to 90. Like, we happen
Great.
To know that. And it is entirely possible that somebody listening thinks of you exclusively as a singer-songwriter, which you might relish the idea of.
Yes.
But, of course, you do have this background in acting in the 80s.
Acting when you were just in the 90s, yes.
80s, 90s. And so Elise Platt was an actor. When I first heard of her, saw her, it was on Sons and Daughters, which I think was that your first acting gig?
Yes.
Around 85, I would have been.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. So that was, I played Amanda Morrell.
Sydney or Melbourne?
I imagine a very good school for acting, those sorts of things. Were they churning it out so quickly?
Oh, you mean was
yeah,
it? Oh, absolutely, yeah. The best.
Yeah, just a great training ground.
Training ground.
Do you miss exclusively doing acting, given that you can marry it with your cabaret stuff?
Well, I still do it when it comes along. It's just, you know, like a lot of actors and performers, it doesn't come around a lot, and then you'll have a run, a flurry of different guest roles and so forth, but I'm fortunate that I have this nagging side of me that wants to do what I do. I don't know why I do it, but I just can't help it. I have to do it.
You're not just hanging out for the reboot of Sale of the Century.
No, and I don't always have an inspiration. I'm not. I'm not always inspired and wanting to write because it's exhausting, to be honest, and it's exhausting for people who know me, especially
Sorry,
my
exhausting
family.
Writing,
well,
music.
When you're in the grip of artistic you know, endeavours, it takes a lot of energy to do that because you wake up at ridiculous hours of the morning and you're just compelled and you have to do it. That's my experience of it. And then you're really, you know, not a very fun person to live with, which my husband, who's in the car out the front, can vouch for.
We certainly get it. I understand that. I mean, we have 20 minutes before this show where we do a production meeting.
And,
you know, it's very intense.
Yeah.
It's
like 10. Claude is your husband.
Claude,
I tell you for why I know that. It's not because I'm a stalker, but whenever I have a guest on this show, what I like to do is go to the Google machine and type in the start of their name and see what the most searched for thing is.
Right.
And you'll be disappointed to learn it says Elise Platt husband.
Does it?
Yeah. So there's a whole lot of dudes out there wondering if you're married, maybe. I don't know why. Why would that come up? But then
that's weird.
That's an often thing. Mm. You know, the star's name, partner or husband or scandal often comes up. So you
scandal,
didn't,
Or come to the show, you'll hear all about my scandals.
So do you, in putting together a show like this, so Someone's Daughter, I was interested, is that a play on Sons and Daughters? Because that's how people
know.
Nothing to do with it.
It's a song that I wrote inspired by something completely unrelated to what this show is. Having said that, the actual subject of the song and the inspiration was born out of a very shadowy lady, you know, someone who was in the grip of something.
Yeah.
So that was the reason why I did that. And
so you are not somebody's daughter in that context. This is about the shadowy lady.
Well, no, it's me. And all the songs that I do, it's speaking to the shadow. But it's not just of me, it's of all of us. You know, it's a universal sense of the undertow of the other side of ourselves.
Yeah, and we are all indeed somebody's daughter.
And we are all indeed somebody's daughter.
Even if they're not with us.
That's
right. You're wearing
a
rather fetching jacket. Are we allowed to ask about that?
That's lovely,
because it is related to your show.
Well, I'm a yachtswoman and I thought that maybe you're with the Royal West Australia Yachting Squadron or something, but it's not that.
Swanbourne?
No. It's not that reputable, is it?
It's Royal Western Australia Bowlers Association Swanbourne.
And so that's embroidered men's jacket.
Men's jacket.
In it, love.
That's right. And it's, look, I'm going to be telling you a little bit about it because I do talk in depth about it and actually what happened, because I purchased this beautiful jacket in the 80s when Packer, no, not Packer, yes, Packer, that's right.
Yeah,
yes.
you can dump either of them in, but
yeah,
Packer will do.
Sold the network to Mr. Bond.
That would be Nine.
That's right, Channel 9. And so they had a huge party on the Yarra. And
in the 80s, a huge party.
Who knew? That was very low-key, that one. And we had to meet all the people from Perth, and I thought, oh. And I'd bought this jacket when I was over there. I thought, oh, this would be a good jacket to wear. And, of course, it was a very controversial jacket to wear because I got into lots of trouble over it. Big trouble, in fact.
Is it because it was all you were wearing? Or
because, no, because.
If you popped some pants on, you would have been fine.
Because they said, that's an interesting jacket. What is that? I said, oh, no, it's fantastic, isn't it? And I said, and I got it from an op shop for a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the big
So why
thing.
Is the, oh. Why is it a bowls club? So is it bowling?
No, it's because I got it from an op shop
oh, wow.
for
oh.
a dollar. And stars don't wear op shop clothes.
Yeah.
Oh.
And
Oh, because it was nine and you had to be the nine type.
Yeah, and other things yeah. I was read the Riot Act too. And
we still hear that. I mean, you know, it's headline sad. News if someone wears the same thing on a red carpet twice.
Exactly, yeah.
Although if you call it recycling, I think it's acceptable.
Yeah.
So how did you play that game? Because knowing you, the tiny bit that we do, you're not that person. But you had to be that person. Because if you're listening and you don't know, Elise then went on to be in Neighbours and then on to be... You don't call it co-host. What did they used to call it?
Co-host.
Co-host of Sale of the Century.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was daunting because I did not aspire to that at all. I'd left Sons and Daughters wanting to pursue serious acting career and do pick up again on my music. And then Grundy's, who made Sons and Daughters, also made Sale of the Century, knew of me from that and that I was quite popular on the Sons and Daughters show. So they said, oh, we've got an audition for this show called... And I had never seen Sale of the Century. I didn't know what it was. And then I think at the time, Ali Fowler was living with... Oh, boom, bing, bing. There you go.
I'm giving you two because it's Ali Fowler. He was my favourite on Sons and Daughters. Oh, I'm so sorry to tell you. But because she's an original.
That's okay. That's all right. Well, she was living with me and she played Tony Barber and I played Delveen. Ah, oh, dum dum.
Good. Carry on.
And so I went along for the audition completely, just taking the mickey out of myself, mm-hmm. with my tongue firmly in my cheek. Mm-hmm. And Tony really liked it, the way that I wasn't taking myself seriously and I wasn't...
And at least it was your own tongue.
And it was my...
Yeah, from what I've heard from Channel 9 in the 80s.
Exactly.
Could have been anybody's.
All in my show.
No comment.
And yet
you're still wearing the diamond encrusted memento.
Yeah.
Wasn't that the thing?
I never got that. No.
I think you were after my time watching Sale of the Century, because that was Sale of the Century. Who was before you as co-host?
Delveen.
Delveen Delaney.
Yes.
Brilliant. And so I think that was my time. Oh, Delveen Delaney. You weren't living with her, though, like you're living with Ali Fowler.
No, that's right.
If you've just joined us, we're speaking with Elise Platt, who's got a show called Someone's Daughter. It's the world premiere of this show.
It is.
Which makes me excited that it might be going on.
Yes.
Is it going to Adelaide Cabaret?
Not this year.
Not yet.
No, I missed it. That's been my... Getting yourself to... I mean, to create and write and perform and then go, oh, when are the applications open for festivals?
And they back up so quickly that... You want to test this first.
Who does that? Who can do that? There's loads of people who can do that.
There's heaps of them, mate.
That's clever. That's a talent.
Someone's Daughter is on at the Melbourne Cabaret Festival. The festival runs longer, but Elise's show runs from Thursday the 28th to Saturday the 30th of June. Get in quickly. It's at 8:30 p.m, a 60-minute show, which is still a lot of singing and yakking.
And a great band.
Oh, yeah. Now, tell us about
awesome
your musicians.
Band.
Yes.
I've Fish got Shop Collective?
Gorgeous. It is. It's a version of the Fish Shop Collective. Anyone who plays with me is a fish in my shop.
Yeah.
It's just most of them have played on the record. Pete Farnan is playing guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he was from...
Boom Crash.
Boom Crash Opera.
Yeah. And Claire Moore playing drums and xylophone. Wife.
Best half? Yes.
Of course. Yep. And she usually plays xylophone vibes in my band, but she's playing drums and xylophone.
I love it that somebody wanted to learn the xylophone.
Yeah, it's great.
Good on you.
Yeah, good
on
you.
The theremin.
Well, I suppose you're very much in demand because you're the only one.
You're the glockenspieler. Yeah.
It's a great instrument.
Well, you got to have it.
You got to have it.
Yeah.
I love it.
And then?
And then we have...
Steve
Pay on keys and Frank Desario on double bass and electric bass.
Is that me?
No,
it's
not me. Is
that
me?
The host of the radio show has left her phone on.
No, it's not me either.
No, it's me.
Oh, it's you.
I'm just admitting to it.
So what do we do to you?
I don't know. It's never happened before. I'm sure that Rachel, the producer, will fix it up. Yes, the show is at Chapel Off Chapel. And you go to Melbourne Cabaret. It's that simple, melbournecabaret.com. Don't put an AU on it because you don't know where you're going to end up.
That's right.
If you do things like that, Elise Platt. I'm so looking forward to seeing the show.
I'm so
happy that I always think this when you run into people that you haven't seen for, you know.
Ali will be there.
Oh, wow. I don't even need that.
doesn't count. Sorry, she's already had a mention.
I do love a bit of... I wish we could keep you longer and then do a whole lot of Melbourne 80s trivia because I love what... That was that for me. I don't know how it was for you because you were probably in the... Well, you were buying op shop jackets and getting yelled at for it. But that period in time for me is the most TV I watched, the most live music I saw, the most... You know, that's my time. So yes. I love all those people. And I love it when you still see them. You still see them swimming around Melbourne. Like, you still...
Yeah.
Particularly places like Memo Music Hall and Bird's Basement. And you can catch little gigs where, even when the Shantuzies go and play, I'm just like, well, I'm there. Because love that they're all still out there and making music.
Absolutely.
And making us all happy, as will this. And we'll all go, if you want to see this and other things at the Melbourne Cabaret Festival, get onto melbournecabaret.com. Elise Platt, good luck with the show.
So lovely to be here. Thanks for having me back.
And thanks for coming back again.
It's great seeing
you. We will get a photo of Elise in her crazy Dead on Mason hat.
On the couch, lying down on the couch.
More, yeah.
Don't forget your couch.
More importantly, with the RWAB, whatever, BA.
Swanbourne. Royal Bowlers Association.
Nudist blazer.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.